Flaherty from EssentialCSLewis.com, and the following is a repeat of the first essay chat I did with Dr. Holly Ordway, who is now the chair of the Department of Apologetics at Houston Baptist University. The essay from Lewis we discuss is Sometimes Fairy Stories Say Best What's to Be Said, and it was recorded in the first part of 2012 prior to the launch of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty from All About Jack, a C.S. Lewis podcast. Today I'm discussing Sometimes Fairy Stories May Say Best What's to Be Said with Dr. Holly Ordway. Dr. Ordway teaches composition and literature and is a speaker who often addresses the issue of literary apologetics. Her 2010 book, Not God's Type, told of her journey from atheism to Christianity. Welcome to the show, Holly.
Thanks for having me on.
As noted, our focus is on a single essay by Lewis. Holly and I will be chatting about it and providing comments that we hope will spark your interest in reading it for the first time, or if you already have, to go back and read it again. Let me begin by providing some background about the essay, which again is Sometimes Fairy Stories May Say Best What's to Be Said. I'm not sure, Holly, but I think it may be about one of the longest titles for an essay by Lewis.
It's really close, and if it's not the longest, it's probably tied with another essay for most difficult to say correctly. The winner, I think, would have to be Bluspels and Phalanospheres, A Semantic Nightmare, which is, by the way, an excellent essay, as is this one, but boy, the title's a zinger.
Right. In fact, I don't know that I would attempt to say that title. I appreciate you saying it. Well, let's see. This particular essay, it was first published in the New York Times Book Review for their November the 18th, 1956 issue. Presently, it's best available in the collections of essays. There's two books of collections of essays that it can be found in primarily. On Stories, the other one is called Of Other Worlds. Well, to start things off, Holly, how would you summarize the main point or some of the main points of this article by Lewis?
Well, this is, in a sense, a very conversational article in the sense that Lewis is sort of talking through his writing process, but it can probably be summed up best as Lewis's response to people who mistakenly thought that his mode of writing the Chronicles of Narnia was simply to take his Christian idea and think, how can I wrap a story around this to, you know, present it to my readers? And he says, oh, no, it's not that. It's, I had this image, and then I thought I started working with it and seeing what I would do with it. And he uses that to introduce the idea of two different ways of thinking about writing, kind of the author's way and the man's way, and thinking through what then is the best mode to present those two things together. And that turns out, in his case, to be what he calls fairy stories, or we might more broadly say fantasy.
This is one of his shorter essays. I have an audio version of it, and it is less than 10 minutes. And like you said, he gives an example about the Narnia stories. But before we know more about that, one other thing that Lewis mentions is that he isn't talking about children's stories per se, but fairy tales. Why do you think he makes this point?
He's making this point because people sometimes think that children's stories are some other category that you have to talk down to children, or that things that are written for children are only suitable for children. But Lewis really challenges that and says, no, in fact, anything that's, you know, if it's going to be enjoyable for children, it ought to be equally enjoyable for adults. And so he makes the point that fairy stories are he says at the end, the fantastic or mythical is a mode available at all ages, for some readers, for others at none. And it really cuts across age barriers in a way that other kinds of literature sometimes don't.
Well, now, regarding his Narnia tales, or I guess we can call the Narnia fairy tales, why do you think Lewis was so effective with them?
I think he was so effective, well, for a number of reasons, but one of them is that he does exactly what he's talking about in this essay, the Sometimes Fairy Stories May Say Best What's to Be Said, because he has something valuable that he wants to say about the Christian faith, about the truth of the Christian faith, but he's actually not putting that as his main objective in a sense. He's telling a story that in itself has value, and it really is impossible to say at any given moment which came first, because they're both so connected. And I think the reason that it works so well is that Lewis commits himself to telling the best possible story, bringing in all of the riches of what he knows, all of the riches of his literary study, the contents of his long study of language. One of the great insights that's come about recently with regard to the Chronicles is from Michael Ward's book, Planet Narnia, where he shows us very clearly the way that Lewis brings in imagery and language from his deep knowledge of medieval cosmology and the seven heavens. And that enriches the Chronicles on even on the level of individual words and phrases to create part of that cumulative effect. This helps us see Ward's work, the way that it really isn't just accidental that these stories have such impact. They're really carefully constructed and they're multi-leveled. There's so much more than just a Christian truth set in a fantasy world.
One of the things that Lewis points out that's pointed out in other things is about watchful dragons and getting past them. What's your take on what he says in this essay about that?
In this essay, he talks about the watchful dragons being that sense of obligation. Specifically, he notes this sense that you ought to feel a certain way about God, and that the obligation to feel actually can freeze your feelings and make it impossible to feel that way. And so he, in this particular essay, he talks about the way that setting the Christian truths in a fantasy setting allows him to kind of go around those expectations from Sunday school and really experience who Jesus is in a really fresh and compelling way. Now, the interesting thing is that that concept of watchful dragons is really has deeper impact and deeper applicability than perhaps Lewis realized, because those watchful dragons come in all shapes and sizes. And for many readers, the watchful dragon is not just or not a sense of obligation how I should feel toward God, but it was rather the watchful dragon of hostility toward anything Christian. And certainly that was the case for me, that I had this knee-jerk reaction of, oh, I don't want to read this is before I was a Christian, but I don't want to read anything to do with Christianity. It's all a bunch of, you know, nonsense. But the stories go around that, and so I was actually able to encounter these truths in a way that got past my defenses. So that is a really a pivotal insight from this essay, the way that literature can go past the barriers that we set up against certain truths and allow us to engage with them without that filter that we try to bring to it.
Now, again, we're not trying to exhaustively discuss this essay, although it is a rather short one. There may not be too many more points, but we want to kind of wrap up here with quotes that stand out from the essay. For me, a quote that stood out is, a book worth reading only in childhood is not worth reading even then. Did you have any quotes that stood out to you?
I have a quote that stood out from the very beginning where he's talking about the two different reasons for writing a book. He talks about the author's reason, which is the imaginative reason and the desire to make a good story, and the man's reason, which is the desire to have a good, you know, point, a good moral. And he says that you have to have both of those reasons. If only one of these is present, then, so far as I am concerned, the book will not be written. If the first is lacking, it can't. If the second is lacking, it shouldn't.
Yes, that's very good. Now, what are the related essays that people would find interesting if they especially enjoy this one?
Well, one of the essays would be, somebody's actually collected with it, would be an essay called On Stories and another called On Science Fiction. And both of these, he talks through story and the experience of story and the importance of story.
And then I remember watching, maybe it was 3 or 4 months ago, you did a talk entitled The Role of Imagination. And then you mentioned that it's sort of in the defense of living out the Christian faith. We'll be providing a link to that. It's a YouTube video. Can you briefly, in a couple sentences, describe it for us?
Yeah. The full title was the Role of Imagination in the Life of Faith, because I think many Christians don't see the way that imagination is actually a vital part of how God made us. And my point in that talk is to say the way that not only can we know Christianity to be true on a rational level? This is absolutely the case. But also, that our imagination has a really significant role both in our own life of faith and in how we're able to share that faith with others.
Well, again, we've been talking about Lewis's essay, Sometimes Fairy Stories May Say Best What's to Be Said. You can get it in the essay collection either On Stories or Of Other Worlds. There's some others that are out of print. These are in print right now, so you can follow the link in the show notes. And Holly, thanks for chatting with me today about this essay.
It's always a pleasure.